Welcome to Third and Outside. I am your host, Wes, joined as always, this time not live in the studio, all the way out there in Hawaii via Skype, Eric.
Good day.
Good day.
Can you guys hear me out here? I might have to send a message in a bottle once in a while.
Send it now. That way it gets here in time for next week's show. But yes, we can hear you really, really good because I've got the magic guide fingers here to make everything work. So how's your trip home?
Good. It's long and tiring.
Long.
We made it back.
I heard you went to a Denver Broncos game while you were out there.
Yeah, we got to go see the Broncos and the Chargers game.
Ooh.
Chargers kind of beat up on the Broncos, but it was fun. It was the first time my daughters had gone to a game. My 8-year-old spent the first 5 minutes of the game crying because of the noise and just the intensity there. We were on ground level. Well, the first row of seats, and everything was high around us, and she just kept looking up and kind of cowering and trying to tuck herself in. She thought the building was going to fall on her. And of course, when defense is on the field, everybody's stomping their feet yelling defense. That's the noisiest time in a home stadium is defense is on the field trying to upset the other team's offense. So she finally got into it, though. My 5-year-old got into it right away, though. She was up screaming defense and pounding her feet. She was into it. But yeah, that was exciting.
Well, I know my oldest niece, and she does have a loud mouth, so that does fit. All right, let's get down to business. We'll start off, I guess, with your University of Michigan Wolverines. We won't talk about their blowout loss in the bowl game.
Oh, please, yeah.
I started watching it, and then I turned it just for the sheer shake of I was shamed for the Big Ten. We're going to talk about Rich Rod. Tuesday, the report comes out that he had been fired. Then the U of M denied the report, only to turn around and fire him Wednesday morning. So, Eric, with Rich Rod out, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you celebrating dancing naked in the street?
Well, I'm kind of indifferent. I think they had to fire him. But, they don't have an answer yet. So what's the point of firing them if they don't have an answer? And it's a shame because I think Michigan football is really on a downward spiral. One thing that they used to have going for them, especially for recruiting, was they had the mystique of being Michigan. And it was a school that kids wanted to go to, one of the schools that kids wanted to go to because it was a winning program. And now with their huge bowl loss and, the big question mark for coaching, I think they're going to have a hard time recruiting talent to that school. I have no idea what's going to happen there. I don't think there's any quick fix. I like their offense. I like what Rich Rod has done with the offense, but Michigan's always been a defensive school, and they don't have that now, and they need that in the Big Ten. When you got to play Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, you have to have that defense, and they just don't.
Well, you asked her thinking about – sorry, guys. I got a frog in my throat today. They're talking about bringing in Les Miles of LSU. He's an option. Jim Harbaugh, they're still, of course, going to go after him. And then there's another coordinator. I forget where they're getting him from. I didn't write it down. But they have some answers, but they have no way of knowing if they've got them yet or not. And you're right. Michigan was the powerhouse for the longest time. They were known for their defense under Shum Beckler and Carr and all that. And just with Rich Rod, it's just... you're right. They focused on the offensive minutes, and Rich Rod's just not a defensive-minded coach. You can't run the 3-3-5 or 3-5-3, whatever the heck it's called, in the Big Ten. You can't. You have to have four guys up front on that line. If you don't have four guys on that line, whoever runs on the offensive side of the ball is going to eat you alive. You're not going to get any pressure whatsoever. And that's exactly what was happening. So
yeah.
He's out. To me, I'm really glad because he insulted my Buckeyes one too many times. Each time he got it handed to him. So we're going to move on to, of course, one of the candidates, supposedly, for Michigan, even though the Detroit Free Press is reporting that he will not be coming to Michigan because he does not want the job, is Jim Harbaugh. He has been interviewed for the 49ers, the Miami Dolphins, and, of course, there's still in talks to stay in Stanford. I think he stays at Stanford, Eric, because track record shows you a great college coach outside of Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer that goes to the NFL does not do well in the NFL. What do you think?
Well, I'd like for him to come to Michigan. I think he'd be good at Stanford. Anyways, I don't think there's any incentive for Harbaugh to come to Michigan. He's already winning where he's at now.
Oh, yeah. They had a great Orange Bowl.
Right, and if he's a guy that's looking to advance his career and he's looking to, you know, win the big one, which would be the Super Bowl, then of course he's going to go to the NFL next. There wouldn't be a reason for him to come to Michigan other than his loyalty to Michigan, and, you know, he's a Michigan guy, but then he's putting his career on the line. So, yeah, you know, if I was Jim Harbaugh, I'd stay at Stanford.
He's got a sweet deal out there. I mean, he's got control, basically. He's basically God out there right now. He took a 1-11 team and made them an 11-1 team.
Wait, absolutely.
No, 12-1 team this year. That Orange Bowl. Holy cow. Did Andrew Luck go on fire against Virginia Tech? I called that one. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I did too. I thought that Stanford would put an explanation point game.
Stanford wanted to prove
everybody that they're as good as what they really are and beat the crap out of whoever they're playing in their bowl game.
They beat the crap out of Virginia Tech. And speaking of that one, remember, you know the announcers. You had the Monday Night Football crew there doing it. On ESPN3... they were streaming the site. They don't go to commercials every time, okay? So they just sit there with the live feed open. I guess I don't have the audio. I wish I had. They're talking about the game. Somebody says Mike Tirico owes them a dinner. And then they start talking about how boring and long the game is. By then, Stanford's already up 30-3 or something like that. Oh, that's just what ESPN needs right now.
I would have liked to hear that. I didn't catch that.
Oh, I'll have to get you the link. I wish I had it. I could play it right now, but I...
Tell you who it wasn't boring for, Stanford fans.
Oh, God, no. They went nuts. And every right so. Jim Harbaugh, you're right, is a great coach. I do think he stays at Stanford. Even though the 49ers in Miami are going to throw them all the money in the world at him. And from what I'm hearing, his ultimate goal is the NFL. Begin with, yeah. It was to make it to the NFL, and the college route was where he ended up, but he wants to coach against his brother, the Baltimore coach. I forget his first name. Jim Harbaugh. It starts with a J, don't it? Something like that.
I can't remember.
Anyway, he wants to coach against his brother. Don't blame him. And I come to find out both Harbaugh brothers were born in my hometown of Toledo, Ohio.
Ah! There you go. Isn't Miami pursuing Harbaugh as well?
Say what?
Isn't Miami pursuing Harbaugh as well?
Yes. The Dolphins are going after them, as reported. He's already interviewed with them. The 49ers, he's interviewing with them today. We're supposed to have an answer by the end of this week, either today or tomorrow. So we're recording on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. And something comes up, you'll hear it because you got ESPN going over there.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
If you hear something during your recording session, let me know. But yeah, those are the two teams he's going for. He's ruled out everybody else. I'd love to see him in Cleveland. Of course, I would love to see anybody in Cleveland besides Eric Mangini, and they fired him. So, but I'll save that for the NFL talk. We're going to move along here. Let's talk about the Sugar Bowl real quick. Probably the best game of the BCS so far. The rest of them have all been blowouts, so there's really no point in talking about them. I want to talk about a good, hard-fought game by both teams, and that, of course, was the Sugar Bowl.
A great game.
Yes, it was. My Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Arkansas Razorbacks, and boy, did it look good for the Buckeye fans. First half. Second half? Eh.
Yeah, it got scary there. Actually, it was kind of scary in the very beginning, too, that fumble. And then the receiver picking it up for the touchdown.
Sanzenbacher, he's a Toledo boy.
Yeah, that kid can play.
Oh, I can't wait to see him play on Sundays. If he does not get drafted, and if he's not playing on Sundays, I don't know what the NFL's got going on. He might not become a number one receiver, but he is one hell, pardon my language, hell of a good second receiver. Of course, yeah. He became Ohio State's first receiver when Javier Posey was supposed to be the first receiver. And Pryor just loved seeing Sanzenbacher and kept throwing to him. So there was that now, play. Go ahead.
When you were watching that game, I was getting nervous for Pryor because the way he was running with that ball, he's a great runner, but he really had it out hanging away from his body. And I know that's what caused the first fumble. And even after that, he seemed so relaxed. I was surprised that he didn't get it knocked away more.
That's because he showed no respect for the Arkansas defense.
Yeah.
With defenses, if you look at his film and break that down, which I know they're doing in the NFL because he still possibly can go out. I don't like his answer when he was asked after the game if he was leaving. It was kind of like,
What was that? I was like, did he just go, nah? That was his answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was blowing it off. Yeah. That's what he was.
That was kind of comical.
He's leaving. He's blowing it off. He's not dumb. He's going to, okay, if he doesn't leave this year, he's not going to be in top three rep. He might be in the third rep. He's not going to be a first or second round pick because of all the quarterback talent coming out. And he's going to be a third round pick. But next year, if the NFL has their way, there'll be the rookie salary cap. Okay? He's going to lose a lot of money. That's why Andrew Luck is leaving instead of going back for a senior at Stanford, because he's going to leave about $60 million on the table.
Well, you know what I liked about Pryor, though? He did apologize to Ohio State students or fans about the mistakes that they had made 2 or 3 years ago, which I thought was a pretty respectable thing to do.
Oh, it was. And my whole thing is it's probably the cynical in me. I'm going to believe it if he stays. If he doesn't stay, the whole "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry" was just something to get them to leave him alone.
Yeah.
So if he stays, then I'm going to buy it and believe it. That, and it, like I said, it's probably the cynical in me, but I've seen athletes do that way too many times and then still screw over the fans. One play I want to talk about, again, is Sanzenbacher in that game. His second touchdown, the one Pryor threw him.
Mm-hmm.
Pryor got out of pressure, threw a beautiful, beautiful pass. And did you see Sanzenbacher use every piece of his body to grab that ball?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a fantastic athlete.
Oh, my gosh. Kids, if you're listening to this and you're kidding and you're playing and all that, find that clip of Dane Sanzenbacher grabbing that ball. That's how you play receiver.
He was totally dialed into that game. He'd catch the ball, score a touchdown, go to the sideline and sit and just wait to get back into the game. He wasn't dancing around. There wasn't any sign of relief. He wasn't going to be relieved until the game was over and they won. That guy was totally dialed into the game.
Oh, man, and it was a great senior send-off for him. But, yeah, you're right. He was dialed in. That kid... He was great in Toledo. I remember watching him in Toledo at Central Catholic High School there in Toledo, Ohio. He played great there. Nobody could touch him. Then he comes to Ohio State. And granted, he's not the biggest body, and he's supposedly not the most athletic, but what he is, he's a true gamer. That man loves the game, and you're right. He was dialed in. Plus, Ohio State won. Broke the 0-9 streak against the SEC. So if you're an SEC fan, eat it. You may have killed the rest of the Big Ten, but they were talking about during the game that Ohio State has become more like an SEC team. They're adapting and becoming more of that. You know?
Yeah, they're evolving. That's what's so great about that Ohio State coach. He knows how to evolve in the football world.
No. You're right. He does. He does involve, but I love Jim Tressel, but man, he got way too conservative at the end of that game. He got way too conservative, and it almost cost us the game. That's the one thing about the Senator as he's called here to Buckeye fans. That bothers me. The senator. Because he acts like one. He dresses like one. You know, he just carries himself like one of those senators. Hopefully he's not doing what most of the senators are doing behind closed doors.
Taking pictures of themselves or meeting with the interns.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope that's not going on. He gets conservative. Conservative.
All another right, thing in that game was the Razorbacks didn't help themselves with all those drop passes.
Oh,
I mean, their receivers
no.
talk about not being dialed in.
Ryan Mallett, that boy is going to be playing Sundays as well.
He had a great game. That first play of the game, the receiver couldn't hold on to it. That was a touchdown.
Oh yeah. He had two touchdowns dropped.
Yeah.
Oh, no, at least three. Two or three. There was the one in the end zone where it went through both receivers' hands. Than the one you're talking about. And there's another one, the receiver, wide open. Wide open. I mean, the Buckeye defense, secondary, granted, they were injured and beat up. But, wow, wide open in the receiver. You're right, receiver just dropped it. Had those receivers been catching those passes, we wouldn't be talking about a Buckeyes win right now.
I think you're right. Yeah, Arkansas would have been in a much better position to win.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because Ryan Mallett, the former Wolverine quarterback, who Rich Rod let go, so it didn't really help his job any after watching that game. You let that one go. You moron. But yeah, Ryan Mallett, definitely going to be playing on Sundays. Great quarterback, and his receivers just let him down. The defense of Auburn played great. The rest of the offense played great. The running game, what was that running back's name? Greer, Green? Can't think of his name now. The running back for Arkansas. Holy cow,
yeah,
is he
eating people
up. Every time he got the ball, I just go, oh, crap. You know, it's like, quit handing off.
Yeah, he's good. That whole game was exciting. The end, I couldn't believe how that ended. The block, punt.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Then I thought for sure, oh, Ohio State's going to lose. Arkansas's within scoring range. And what was the final score? 31-26?
31-26. They needed
a
touchdown.
Arkansas just needed six to take the win.
Yeah.
And then Ohio State's defense, how awesome was that with the interception?
Oh, man.
Next
they
play.
They've been getting pressure all game. And that's what Pryor preaches. Get to the quarterback. Get to the quarterback. Get to the quarterback. He will make a mistake. And there it was. Into the game when it needed to be. And here's the thing that's so funny. The player that caught that interception, Eric, I don't know if you know this, he's one of the players suspended next year.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yep. What had happened is he showed blitz. They showed the blitz. He backed off into coverage. He saw Mallett cocking it and just jumped the route, and he was there right when the ball got there. Not
perfect
bad for
timing.
Not bad for a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
But, oh, geez, I tell you what, that was nuts. That game had me on my toes. All right, we're going to move along. Now we're done talking about that, and I got my Buckeye lure in, and I'm done until next fall.
Yeah, congratulations, Wes, on your Buckeye win.
Yes, thank you. And sorry, Eric, for your butt-kicking that Mississippi State gave you.
Oh, boy. And Michigan State took a butt-kicking, too.
Oh.
I was really I thought if anybody, they would kind of show big for the Big Ten. You know, Wisconsin got killed.
Wisconsin didn't get killed. They lost by
only
2 points.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
That was a closer game.
TCU put on a clinic, though.
Yeah, that's right.
And showed people that, unfortunately, the little guy can beat anybody, including the Big Ten. Even though Ohio State win, the Big Ten is not going to come out of this with any respect. That's all I'm saying. Florida beat Penn State. Granted, that was a game. Actually, I won't say that's a great game. The Florida-Penn State game, if you're a Gator fan or a Nittany Lion fan, you should be embarrassed about that game. That was sloppy. I watched the whole thing. Sloppy. 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 I mean, fumbles. Granted, they recovered most of them, but there was fumbles left and right. Drop passes left and right. Just nobody wanted to win that game until late. And had it been for that interception, Penn State had a chance to win it, but it was just really sloppy. I don't know if you saw that one, Eric, or not. I think you were...
No, I didn't catch that one.
Oh, man, it was sloppy. Both the Gators and Nittany Lions, just the offenses. It's either the offenses were really bad or the defenses were really good in causing this problem, but one way or another. I saw quite a few things. I saw overthrown ball. I saw one that was literally in the receiver's handbasket. I mean, just right there. And he took his eyes off of it.
Can't do that.
No. Granted, Florida won, but you can't take anything out of that if you're a fan. You might, you know. I can take something out of my Ohio State game. You know, we played good. We almost lost, but we played good. And so did Arkansas. In this game, it was kind of like to see who wanted it less, you know? That's what that game turned out to. And you're right. The Michigan State-Alabama game, I picked that one to be a lot closer, too.
Yeah.
And then Flint boy Michael Ingram, or whatever his name is. Ingram, regardless. He went nuts on the Spartans' secondary and defensive line. He hurt people. He had a bad season, but for some reason he showed up for the bowl game. Went nuts. I don't know if you saw that one.
Didn't he win the Heisman last year?
He won the Heisman last year. He was hurt this year, so that's why he didn't get as great as numbers as he did. He's probably still gone. He's probably still going to the draft, just because if he stays one more year, he's going to, again, if the NFL has a way, they're going to lose their money. Never showed up. What'd you say there, buddy?
Oh, nothing.
Oh. Spartans didn't show up.
Yeah, that's what... I didn't get to catch the game. I forget what happened that day that I wasn't able to watch a game. I was able to check in on it once in a while. But, yeah, that's what it looked like. They just didn't show up. I mean, when you get trounced like that.
Oh, yeah. And I think what it is, I think it's the layoff that the Big Ten has. They have almost a month and a half off between their last game and the BCS Bowls. I mean, the BCS Bowls start January 1st, right? The last game this year was Thanksgiving weekend for the Big Ten. That's how big the gap was.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Now, college football is still going on for 2 or 3 weeks after that. I don't know why we can't play a little bit longer into the year there. Why can't we play until the first week of December or, you know, the second week of December? Why can't we push that back a little and be with the rest of the nation? Why do we have to be the ones that start first and end first? Doesn't make any sense to me, because it's not helping us in the bowl games, you know?
Yeah, there is that fine point, the balance point of rest and...
too much.
Keeping your game face on. They kind of lose their game face when you're out for that long. It's almost like starting another season.
Yeah, because you can only do so much, and you're not gonna get that full pad hit action in that month time period. It's all going to be, yeah, you're going to be wearing pads, but it's all going to be just like light hits. You're not going to be creaming people. And you're right. It shuts down the game. It slows it down for them. But enough of that about the Big Ten. We don't want to be homers.
Boo. The Big Ten.
Yeah, everyone's booing us. We're going to move on to the Sugar Bowl, the last BC game. And I won't continue that sentence. It's the... let's see here. It's Oregon versus Auburn. Eric, what do you think? So I can take a drink here.
Oh, man. It's going to be good. I think the last time we talked about it, I mentioned that I think it's going to go one of two ways. One being Oregon's going to come out and just trounce Auburn and run away with it, or it's going to be a close game and Auburn's going to win it at the end of the game. That seems to be what they do. I think Auburn's one of those teams that finds a way to win when they're in close games. Oregon, I'm not positive, but I think they kind of come out a little bit slow and then they end up running up a bunch of points. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of glad that it's later in in January, because I don't want the football season to end. And although there was way too many bowl games, I was watching bowl games that I'd never even heard of before during this time, which was cool. Tonight. That was fine too. But yeah, I know we could go on about playoffs, having the NCAA in the playoffs, but yeah, it should be a good game. I think it'll go one of those two ways. Oregon's going to come out and run the score up, and it'll be, if Oregon wins, it's going to be kind of lopsided, and I think if Auburn wins, it's going to be a close win at the end.
Well, Oregon, like I said earlier in our first podcast, we talked about it. We're just retouching base now because it's been 2 weeks since we talked about it. Oregon, great offense. Good defense. Auburn, enough said there on offense. I mean, Cam Newton, holy mess. He's going to be a Michael Vick type quarterback in the NFL. And their defense, they have an SEC defense. They have the best defense in the SEC. So the question's going to come down to this. Auburn's offense versus Oregon's defense. I think Oregon's offense and Auburn's defense are going to cancel each other out for the most part. Oregon's going to have some luck with them, but I don't think they're going to have a ton of it. It's going to come down to that the defensive side of Oregon. Can they hold up to Cam Newton? And track record shows me, basically, they're playing the SEC this year and all the other non-conference games they played this year. They're not going to be. Oregon is not going to be able to keep up with Cam Newton. They're not. They're going to be able to keep an eye on him. They're going to see him. Now they're going to start out the game. Take out the first 8 minutes of the game. 6-8 minutes of the game. Right, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
When you have that initial, rah, you know, adrenaline and all that, just crushing, that's probably going to be the closest the game's going to be. that's probably when both defenses are going to look great, when both offenses are going to look kind of shabby or great, you know, vice versa. After that, I think it's going to turn around, and then I think Auburn's just going to run away with this game.
Where's the game being played?
It's being played in Arizona, Phoenix, home of the Tostitos. They moved it there.
So that's pretty neutral ground. They should have, as far as home field advantage. If anything's closer, maybe Oregon's a little bit closer.
But Oregon doesn't travel well, I hear.
Yeah.
Auburn has never made it to a BCS game, I don't think. So they don't know how they travel in BCS games. Last year at the Rose Bowl, it was basically Ohio State fans. And, I mean, come on, you're at the Rose Bowl. That's an easy drive from Oregon.
Yeah.
To the Rose Bowl. That's a lot easier than from Ohio. You know?
Yeah,
so I don't
for
know,
sure.
I don't know if Oregon travels well. It might be an SEC-dominated game. I mean, look at the Sugar Bowl. The Ohio State fan, the Ohio State University in Auburn got the same amount of tickets. Who was the stadium in favor for last night? Or the other night?
It looked red.
Well, they're both red.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're both red.
But when did it get really, really loud? When Arkansas had the ball or needed them to be loud. It seems like to me that the SEC is traveling very well in these bowl games.
I'm not sure if that's a numbers thing, though, because I know Buckeye fans, especially you, I mean, you've got a really big mouth, so, you know, it'd take like
four
or five of me to equal your volume of voice.
Oh, thanks. Let's get the shots in. Let's go here. Come on.
Zing, zing.
Zing, zing. He's down for the count. well, that's true. But listen to that late first quarter, the late part of the first half going in the halftime. The stadium was quiet outside of the Buckeye fans. I noticed that difference. I was sitting there watching the third quarter and the fourth quarter, it got louder and louder and louder the closer Arkansas got, and I'm like, well, wait a minute here. Same amount of tickets, the Buckeyes travel well. Why was it so quiet towards the end of the second half, and now it's so freaking loud?
Yeah.
Why, it should have been loud the rest of the time. So, I don't know. I think it's because it was in New Orleans that the SEC... I don't buy the whole neutral field thing anymore in college football because the fans travel when it comes to college football, you know? So it's all
about...
Yeah,
they put together groups and buses and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. So I'm going to say it's going to be an Auburn-favored crowd, my guess. Mm. Because, I don't know, just from the Rose Bowl last year, it didn't turn out right. I heard a story somewhere, I forget where I read it. A man offered to marry a woman, and the woman thought about it, if, after they were married, she would buy him tickets to the national championship game.
Did they get married?
No. I think the poor woman come to her senses.
So he's not going to the game?
Nope. But why would you do that? That's sick. I'm a college football fan. I'm a pro football. I'm just a football fan. You know, I want to go to the Super Bowl. I want to go to the national championship, you know. But to do that, that's low even for me.
You got to take into account where they went to school. Maybe they went to the same school or competing schools.
I think it was an
Maybe
Auburn.
There's something in it, more into it.
Something. I don't care. I don't care if you went to the stupid college. You can't do that. That is sick. Who would do that? Would you do that, Eric?
No.
Okay. Kim's in the room, isn't she?
Hang on a second. No, she's not.
All right, now give us the honest answer. But yeah, I think it's going to be an Auburn favorite crowd. I think Auburn's going to win it. It might be a blowout. It might not. I don't know. Let's put our pride on the line. We'll put 10 points on it. 10 points Auburn favorite.
Okay, so Auburn minus 10?
Has to win
10?
By 10 points, or Oregon covers.
I think Oregon will cover that.
You think Oregon cover? Do you think they'll win?
I think they'll win, yeah.
So you're picking
like
cover
to win.
And win. I'm going to say Auburn, 10.
Yeah, I'll take the 10 points.
You'll take the 10 points? All right.
Sure.
I'll give them. You'll take them, and we'll see next week.
Let's make it 9.5.
Nine and a half?
In case it's 10.
All right.
So I'll take the Oregon to cover 9.5.
All right. Write this down here. Eric to cover. And that will tell me what to say next week. All right. And I'm picking Auburn to win by that much, so whatever that means in Vegas lingo. I never really understood the betting odds either. And here I am making them. I remember I was out in Reno working one year, and we had the Ohio State-Michigan game. Walked in there. I saw these odds on the table, and it had picked Michigan. I forget what year. It was 05. It had to be 05. Michigan to win against Ohio State. I'm just looking at this, and the numbers didn't seem right in my head. And God, do I ever wish I had put the $100 on that that I was thinking about. Ohio State not only covered, they won, destroyed Michigan. My payout, I forget what the number was, would have been like $20K.
On how much of a bet?
On a $100 bet.
Oh, to cover the spread?
To cover
that
the
seems
spread.
Like a lot.
I forget what the... That was the year that Michigan was supposed to blow Ohio State out of the water.
That would have been like 200 to 1 odds or something.
I forget what it was. It was something, and it would have been close to $20K, my payout. And I'm not lying. I mean, the number just didn't seem right in my head. I think somebody just threw it up there on the board, you know, to kind of like... Well, we'll put this up here. There's no way Ohio State can cover this, and Ohio State covered it. I'm like, idiot.
You could be a rich man right now.
Oh, I could be a rich man right now. Well, actually, I probably would have spent the $20K back in the casinos knowing that time period. I'd still be poor.
You might have got a free room out of it, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It's entirely possible. But shoulda, coulda, woulda. Isn't that what they say?
That's what they say.
All right. Wrapping up, anything on this national championship game you'd like to add?
Go Oregon.
Unfortunately, based on the way the rest of the SEC has played this year, I don't think Oregon's going to win. And I know one of my DJs at BGL, she listens. She's not going to like this, but I'm sorry, Per. Go Tigers. I'm going to hear it now. I really am. I'm going to get an email or an IM. You moron. How could you go against the Mighty Ducks? I said, well, A, they're not the Mighty Ducks. The Mighty Ducks are now gone in Anaheim. Oh, mercy. All right. But, yep, you got Oregon. I'll write this down here. I've got Auburn. We'll see how that goes. Based on our NFL week, you're probably going to suck. Moving along to the NFL. Last week, in our seven games that we picked, Eric, you went 5-2.
Woohoo!
I went 3-4.
Duh.
congrats to you.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to start all fresh and new for the playoffs. You basically beat me in the two regular season weeks we had. We're going to start fresh for the playoffs. But before we get on to that, let's talk about some of what happened during the NFL Week 17.
How much did I beat you by, Wes? Do you know?
You beat me by two games. Oh, wait, no.
That's
no,
not
no.
too we bad.
Were, yeah, you beat me by two games because we were even last week, 8-8.
So it wasn't like I, you know, trounced you or anything.
No, I just had a bad week.
Yeah, you made it respectable. That's what I would say, too. If I lost, I'd say I just had a bad week.
And I did. I mean, you picked the Packers. I picked Chicago. Honestly, I thought Chicago was going to win that game. But you were right. Aaron Rodgers.
I think the Packers are going to carry over pretty well into the playoffs, too.
I agree with you on that one. The Packers, holy, they're clicking at the right time now. Aaron Rodgers, holy cow. Pressure. Yep. He gets out of the pocket, finds it. Oh, man, that quarterback is great.
They're at Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia is a kind of on a downward spiral. I don't think Vic's playing as well as he can be or should be. He was kind of beat up in the last game that he played in.
And he took last
week. He got the ball knocked away from him a couple times. I just think Green Bay's got the momentum right now. How do you feel about that game?
See, Philly-Green Bay. I think it's going to be a great game. When is that? That's Saturday?
Sunday. At Philadelphia, 11:30 a.m.
That's probably Fox.
That must be 11:30 a.m. Hawaiian time.
Yeah, think about that for a second.
11:30 a.m. games on the mainland.
Yeah, no, that's the 4 o'clock game, I think. You must forgive Eric, everybody. He lives in Hawaii. He's 5 hours from everybody.
Yeah, the Baltimore at Kansas City game is on at 8 a.m. Hawaiian time. I love it. I'm going to get up in the morning and just start watching football.
You lucky bub! I got to wake up and wait until 1. Of course, when I wake up at 10 o'clock, you know, it's not that long of a wait.
You got to sleep in a little bit longer, then you can plan it better.
Yeah, that's going to work. Green Bay at Philly. Going to be a great game. I think even though Michael Vick is beat up, he's still Michael Vick. He wasn't Michael Vick in that last game he played against, Minnesota? Vick is still going to be Vick. He may not be Madden NFL Vick, but I still think he's going to be Michael Vick. I think it's going to come down to which quarterback has the better game, Michael Vick or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Both defenses are good, but both offensive lines, you know, I think that balances out there. The secondaries, I'm going to have to give the favor in Green Bay's side because they've got Woodson back there, and that in itself. Big Ten boy.
Whoop.
I'm going to say Green Bay.
Oh, we're agreeing on that then.
Yep.
I think Green Bay. One of the main reasons for me is I don't think Vic has really proved himself in the NFL totally yet. He doesn't,
what?
You know, like Aaron Rodgers has played great in the NFL. But Vic, how long has he been in the NFL? What has he really done? He hasn't really done anything. He's had some fantastic games, singular games. But... You know, actually, I did see a stat on ESPN that he's 2-0 in playoff games when he starts. So I guess that counts for something, right?
Yeah, he almost got Atlanta to a Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
Okay, we'll take that into consideration. But it's been – he's had one of those careers that's been Aside from, you know, the dog thing, but he's had a career that he hasn't been consistent, I guess is what I'm getting at. Whereas I feel Aaron Rodgers has been a more consistent player his career.
I see
that. But we're arguing over the same thing. We both think Green Bay is going to win anyways.
Yeah. Well, no, you made a good point about Michael Vick. When he was in Atlanta, you're right, he wasn't always inconsistent. He was never the drop back quarterback that they wanted, you know, and throw. He was always run first. And I think here in Philly, that's worked a little bit. So if you take everything from Atlanta, I can see what you're saying for. But you've got to add in this year. Vick has actually been pretty good this year. He's been consistent. It's just he doesn't have the greatest people to throw to. Outside of DeSean Jackson. You know, nothing against if you're a Philly fan. Sorry. But I don't know. Maybe you get another receiver in there to go along with Jackson, and Michael Vick becomes consistent again. He's always thinking pass first before he runs off. You know, he's...
That's what it should be, too, shouldn't it?
Yeah. In the NFL, you have to be a pass first, run second quarterback.
And then he's got... And the running part is his ace in the hole. He's a great runner, so, you know, that's... If he can't pass, then he's going to go to that, and he's going to be able to beat you that way.
Yeah, and that's what defenses have been doing. They've been trying to take away the pass, you know, and hoping his run. So we'll see how that ends. I think that's what Green Bay's their game plan is going to be. Let's take a pass away from Vic. Let's make him run. And when he runs, let's contain him. So, yeah, I say Green Bay in that one as well. So you're right. We're arguing. We're not technically arguing. We're discussing Michael Vick. What's the next one? Let's go to a Saturday game here. What do we got for Saturday?
Kansas City lost in their final game.
Oakland.
Yeah. So, and I thought they were going to have a stronger game than they did. Baltimore won in their last game, I believe.
They were playing, forget who they were playing, Cincinnati maybe? No.
I forget too. This is going to be a close game. It's at Kansas City, so I think it, you know, obviously that's a tough place to play. Boy, Baltimore's got a good quarterback.
Flacco. Oh, man. He's good.
Yeah, and Kansas City's quarterback's been really good, too.
Cassel? It's Cassel.
Cassel. Yeah. So I guess if I'm going to... Geez, I guess... I want to take Kansas City, but I think Baltimore is going to end up squeaking out a win.
You're picking Baltimore. I don't know. Baltimore's defense really, really, really good, and they've shut down a pretty good amount of running backs this week, so I think that takes Jamal Charles off the table. But I don't know. Jamal Charles, the running back for Kansas City, he's unique. You know,
He
goes up against defenses that are supposed to beat him. And see, I know him so well because he was on my championship fantasy team this year. Whoop, whoop.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm going to talk. Hey, I got a story about that one, but let me finish this first. I don't know. I don't think Cassel is going to be able to do as good as he's done all year against the secondary because they haven't faced a true secondary. Well, actually, no, correction. When they faced a good secondary, that's when Cassel has had a problem.
Yeah, and Baltimore's great.
Their secondary is good. They got Ed Reed back there. I mean, Ed Reed himself. That's... you can't mess with Ed Reed. You don't try to trick this guy. You don't try to play games with him. He's going to beat you if you do. So I think the X Factor in this game, and the person to watch... is going to be Jamal Charles. If he can get running, if he can get moving and help Kansas City get that play action going, I'm picking Kansas City. But my official pick, is going to be Baltimore because they haven't won. Kansas City hasn't won a home game since '93 or something like that.
In the playoffs.
They haven't won a whole game in the playoffs since 93. I think that's the number. I forgot to clarify that, but if I'm wrong, forgive me, we're not ESPN here. We're not the mothership. I don't have no stats guy sitting next to me giving me a thumbs up, you know?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my garage with yesterday's newspaper and ESPN playing Jerry Rice, you know, watching Jerry Rice do an interview. So, yeah, I don't have any stats in front of me either.
He's in his man cave. I'm in mine. That's about all it is. So, yeah, I'll pick Baltimore. Now, like I said, on a side note, Jamaal Charles, if he can run on this defensive line, on this defense of Baltimore, then Kansas City's got a great shot. Because that's going to set up the play-action pass. They're going to be looking for Charles, and then Castle's going to somehow, you know, find something. Maybe a couple dumps off here and there to a tight end. Like I said, you get the play-action pass going against Baltimore, I think you've got something going. But I'll pick Baltimore. What's the next one?
Next one is we're going to go to Saturday's game. We'll start with what most people would probably think is an easy pick. New Orleans at the losing record Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, don't get me started on Seattle. My question, quick little side note here. What the heck happened that a 7-9 team got in the NFL playoffs? St. Louis. Screw parity. Nah, I'm telling you, screw parity, because right now that's what Tampa Bay's saying, and that's what the Giants are saying. What, we went 10-6 and we can't get in, but a 7-9 can? What the heck? That division is so bad. Detroit could have won it. Had Detroit been in the West, they would have finished with a winning record and won the division. That's how bad the West is. I'm sorry if you're an Arizona fan, Seattle fan, St. Louis fan, or San Francisco. You have the worst division in the NFL. Your teams flat out suck. St. Louis.
So are you taking New Orleans to beat Seattle?
I'm taking New Orleans to win by a million.
All right, I'm going to take Seattle then.
You're picking... Oh, are you high? Or are you just trying to take a game?
They do have pretty lenient Pakalolo laws out here.
I'm starting to wonder.
But isn't Pierre Thomas injured?
Yeah, but you still got Reggie Bush.
I don't know. There's something about, I think, New Orleans, you know, they're the Super Bowl champs. I think they're, again, we don't have stats in front of us, but I think there's a couple stats that show first-round eliminations for Super Bowl champs.
But
and this is
Seattle.
One that I don't think anybody would take, so I'm going to take it on that premise. You know, obviously New Orleans is a better team.
Okay. Go ahead, finish.
Well, I was going to say, and the other thing is we both have already picked two of the same games as winners. So
you're going to give me a game?
I don't know. I don't know if it's given you. I think this is, it's a gambler's, it's one of those gambler's things. This might be my 10,000, my 10K. You know how you were talking about if you would have just bet that 100 bucks, you would have won 10K?
If Seattle wins this game, we'll open the show next week, and I will let you rip me about your NFL prowess in picking. Because if Seattle wins this game, you and I are going to get some money together. We're going to meet in Vegas, and we're going to have some fun.
And it's at Seattle. New Orleans at Seattle.
But it's Seattle. It's 7-9 Seattle. The NFC West. I mean, come on. St. Louis was the best team in that division. Do not get me wrong. See, St. Louis has the best upside in that division. Next year, they're probably going to win it, and it's going to be with a winning record. But they What?
I was going to say, I wonder what the odds are on Seattle winning the Super Bowl, since they are in. Obviously, they're the worst team. But wouldn't it be
funny
if they made it all the way to the NFC Championship? And then made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, talk about a Cinderella.
Somebody would be rich. And yes, you're right. It would be the Cinderella story. And you would have Roger Goodell talking about the parody of the NFL. But every football fan's going, screw you. Of course,
it's
Seattle.
Intriguing to me because the Lions may be in that position at some point. You know, if they had a great finish to this season. That was, as a Lions fan, that was great.
They're talking about it. We'll get to that in just a second. I wanted to talk to you about how they finished. Let's get to that last game real quick, since you're smoking something. You're picking Seattle, so let's see this next one.
Saturday's game, the other Saturday game, at that New Orleans at Seattle game, by the way, is at 11:30 a.m. Hawaiian time.
It's the 4 o'clock game here on the East Coast, people.
And the New York Jets at Indianapolis is 3 p.m. Hawaiian time. That's going to be a good game. That's going to be a tough one. I like Rex Ryan's approach. I like that he's building Manning up. You know, he basically said that we want to beat this guy. It's personal now. That's kind of what he's been putting out there, and I think that's a great coaching technique and strategy, especially for the position they're in. This isn't the first time they've played the Colts. And
last year's AFC Championship.
Yep, and they do have a bit of a grudge against the Colts, and I think this is a great way to motivate your team. So it's New York Jets at Indianapolis. Well, I guess, I don't know, that's a tough one. I'll let you pick that one first.
Oh, of course, leave it, defer to me.
I'm going to defer to the second half.
Oh, of course you would. Indy at the Jets. All right. The Jets have gone kind of downhill since they've had since the middle of the season. They've been probably the most inconsistent team of the playoffs. Indy has, after their most consistent teams in the NFL, they looked against Tennessee. They looked kind of but I think Tennessee was trying to playing their best game for Jim Fisher there in Tennessee and trying to spoil Indianapolis's hopes there. I don't know. This one's going to be a really good game, I think. I think this with the Green Bay and Philly game is probably going to be the best two games. You're going to have a great game on Sunday, and this is going to be this is Saturday, of course. This will be the first good one. See, Manning, I think Sanchez needs to get out of whatever funk he's in. I don't know if he can do it against the Indy defense. Freeney, I think, is going to have his way with whoever is guarding him. I'm going to pick Colts.
The Colts.
I think they're just the hottest team right now. So is that who you're picking too?
I thought I'd know by the time you were done talking, but I'm... I'm still formulating. Yeah, I like what you're saying, though. I think the Jets, if they can get out early and rattle Manning and make him think that, you know, he's going to struggle, I think the Jets can
Manning?
Win. Manning this year, to me, has shown some chinks in his armor, in his mental game a little bit, where he gets a little bit rattled. So I think I'm going to take the Jets, because I think Rex Ryan's going to get the Jets so worked up that they're just going to go out and hammer Manning and get him off his game, and then go from there. But I think, God, it's going to be close. It's going to be a good game. Jets, though.
You'll pick the Jets. All right, so we're split on that one, too. So how's he going to get them all fired up? Is he going to show them that video of him and his wife in the foot fetish?
That might make him sick. I don't know. He better not do that.
We're not going to talk about that on this show, because we're trying to be a nice show, but... That's all I'm saying. That's about as bread as Brett Favre in his...
Favre.
He's getting sued. The Jets are getting sued, too. Did you know that?
No, by who?
By the two women that Favre sent those text messages to.
Oh.
The two masseuses? They're suing Brett Favre, the Jets. They're trying to think if they can sue the NFL for not punishing him correctly. But the reason... the NFL didn't suspend Favre, I guess, is because they didn't cooperate. The women did cooperate with the investigation. Now the lawyer's saying that they did, and the NFL's just trying to protect Favre and blah, 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 blah. Now they're suing the Jets and suing Brett Favre. Suing the Jets on the basis that because Brett Favre went to them and said to the Jets, don't hire them anymore, they're bad, because they turned them away.
Oh, so Favre was kind of
a jerk.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So, Brett Favre may be retiring this year. We won't know until next year when the season starts. But it looks like Brett Favre's still going to be in our hearts for the rest of the offseason. this man needs to go away and go back to Mississippi.
I agree.
He's can't take away what he's done on the field, but off the field, man, you are messed up.
Yeah, I'm over Favre. I have been for a long time. And, you know,
his personal
he's not even in my top 15 quarterbacks of all time.
I'll put him in the top 15. Like I said, I'm not going to disrespect anything the man's done on the field, you know, but he sure as heck is not helping it with every season since that last one in Green Bay. I'm retired. Oh, I want to play. Oh, okay, I'm at the Jets. Okay, I'm retired quietly. Oh, but I still want to play. Okay, here's Minnesota. Okay, I'm retired. Oh, I'm retired. Oh, you're going to throw more money at me, and you're going to send buddies down? Okay, I'll come back and play. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Pompous, I tell you. enough of that. Mercy. Let's do a little quick hit on your Lions. I don't want to talk about my Browns. That's all I'm saying. 41-9. Jesus.
What was their season record?
5-11.
What was your Lions? I think the Lions was only 5-11, wasn't it?
No, they're 6-10.
Oh, 6-10.
Trust
nice. Yeah.
me, my wife has constantly reminded me this last week that her Lions finished better than my Browns. So,
I was at the Broncos game when I saw the Lions score, and I was as loud as I can. Yes, the Lions have won 3 in a row, and some of the people around me were kind of congratulatory towards it. You know, they're like, yeah, right on, man. You know, I think the Browns have the same thing. You know, when people meet a Lions fan or a Browns fan, usually that fan is also rooting for another team. That's how I have been my whole life as a Lions fan, pretty much, is I've always got one or two other teams that I'm really rooting for as well. Not against the Lions, of course, but you can only root for a losing team so much. You gotta grab onto somebody that's winning also. So, not that the Broncos were winning anyways. I was just at the game because it was our friends had tickets. But I was rooting for the Broncos because we were in their home stadium. But anyway, so it was great to see the Lions win 3 in a row.
Yeah, it was actually 4, Eric. 2 at home and 2 on the road.
Even better. So their final 8 games, they were 4-4. That's a 500 season.
There's a lot of talk, not just in Detroit, but in the NFL, that Detroit could make a run for the division next year.
That's what I'm talking about, a 7-9 team or an 8-8 team. Detroit could, although Green Bay is going to be tough because they're in the
7-9 team is not going to win the NFC Central.
No, yeah, I think you're right. You're absolutely right.
You're going to have to go
Chicago.
You're going to have to go 9-6 to at least have a shot.
And you're going to have to beat Chicago, and you're going to have to beat Green Bay at least once.
Well,
each.
Look at those games. Look at those two games, those 4 games that they played against. Was it 4 or 2? It was 2 each, 1 each. In the division you play your twice, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
All 4 of those games, Lions were pretty good in most 3 of 4 of them. The second Chicago game, there was no chance. The first Chicago game, sorry, Detroit run. Sorry. I think that was a BS call by the ref. You know, so you're right. You've got to win. I say you have to win in order to win for Detroit to win that division next year. They've got to win 3 of the 4 against Packers and Bears. If you can do that, I think they can win the division. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it against Green Bay. They might get in as a wild card, you know, but I think they can win one or both against Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you and I were talking off air about if the season were, and that part is really exciting to me. I mean, it seems like it's ending too soon as a Lions fan, right as they're starting to get hot and things are coming together and they're figuring out how not to lose and how to win and kind of reversing the roles on other teams, coming back and actually winning and figuring out teams' offenses. Detroit's defense really looks special to me.
It does.
While we were visiting in Detroit, I made sure I went out and got a number 90 t-shirt, and I wear that with pride here. I'm not sure what his nationality is. S-U-H. I thought he was some kind of Polynesian. Where did he go to school? Nebraska?
He went to Nebraska. I can't remember if he's originally from Hawaii, or he's from Sudan or something. I can't remember. I'll have that answer for you next week.
Yeah, doesn't really matter, but I am wearing that shirt here in Hawaii with a certain amount of pride with their... Now I can say 4-0, because I think I've been going around saying they won 3 in a row, but now I'll make sure I... Yeah,
they
4
were,
in a row.
They were. So, they only had 2 wins going into that that little stretch of theirs, and they got 4 straight. So, but remember this, Detroit fans, Cleveland last year finished with 5 straight wins.
Yeah, that was that was pretty exciting for Cleveland fans.
And then look what happened to us this year.
That's what I'm afraid of. That's why I like to throw that hypothetical. What if the season kept going? There's so much time between now and next season. You know, everything could fall apart, or it'd just be like, you know, starting this season over again. I don't know. It'd be nice if they came out and won the first game next season.
I don't think you're going to lose anything, because I don't think Detroit's going to lose any of their core. Plus, you're going to have Stafford back. As long as he can stay healthy, I think you've got it.
Yeah.
Quick little note on my Browns, I guess. Eric Mangini's been fired. Yay. But I don't like who they're talking about. I'll wait until they hire somebody before I talk about it. But with that, buddy, that's the end of the show. Got anything you want to add?
Just a big aloha.
And a big aloha from Eric. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe. We're wherever you're listening to on iTunes. We are listed on iTunes. Just look up Third and Outside and subscribe through there. Or if you're listening through our Podomatic page, you can just subscribe right there through iTunes through that. It'll take care of it for you. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thirdandoutside, the number 3RD. Check us out on there. Befriend it. We'll put it on there when we're recording and other little side notes. I run it. Eric, I still got to teach so he knows how to run it. For sure, do that. Make sure to tell everybody you know who's a sports fan about us. Like I said, we're a podcast about sports. We don't do it like the mothership. We're going to call ESPN from now on the mothership. I'm going to steal Dan Patrick's line.
Nice.
Well, we're not like the mothership. We may not have the stats, but it's just kind of like BSing like you would with your friends at a bar or sitting there watching the game. A little side note, I have to do this. Check out BGO Radio, the Fusion, BGORadio.net. I am a DJ there. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's not Hawaii. Check me out on there. We play the best music from the 90s through now. Plus, we have a whole bunch of specialty shows. I'm actually on vacation this week, so join me next week starting Monday. But that's where I'm at most of the time. Plus, I do this. We're going to broadcast this podcast starting not this Saturday, next Saturday. Not the one coming up, the one after. So episode 4, Eric, will be part of BGO Radio.
I'll be looking for it.
You'll be able to hear yourself there. Alright, for Eric, anything outside of the aloha?
No, looking forward to next time though, after our playoffs.
For okay. Sure. For Eric, I am Wes. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to subscribe. Keep it going. You guys are doing great. We're up to almost 40 subscribers, 40, 42. I want it to be 100 by week 4. So let's get this going. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a great rest of your day. Have a great sports week, and the playoffs are among us. And the NCAA championship football game is coming. The BCS championship, whatever the heck they call that stupid thing. Go Tigers. Just a bit outside. Third and Outside is produced and edited by LM Productions. 2010 copyright, all rights reserved.